Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back. I'm going to be bringing up Dr. Lee Merritt. She's like you, Wendy. She's a very, very smart lady. Now, she's got a different idea about what was taking place not far from here over in East Palestine, Ohio, with that train derailment. And she believes this is a land grab. Now, hopefully, I can go back to it without being taken down again. We've been having some problems. So if you can hook me back, let's go back to the clip.
Going to tell us things that aren't true that cause people to panic. Sounds just like COVID, right? They get people to be afraid and then they take things from them, their liberty, their land, their ability to get clean food. I ran down here to make this podcast so quickly I forgot my glasses. So everyone's running around with their hair on fire about what happened in Ohio with this train crash. And I want to give you the rest of the story, or at least what I believe is going on, because I don't believe this is the ecologic disaster, nor do I believe it's a disaster for the local people like everyone thinks. Now, that is not to minimize that there could be some short-term, very local damage, okay? And my heart goes out to anybody that's been inconvenienced and or injured by this. However, it could get a lot worse if we buy into hysteria that's not justified, because look at what they're really after in this whole thing, in my opinion, is to take down our food supply and our land, and it's a land grab, okay? Because they're going to tell us things that aren't true that cause people to panic. Sounds just like COVID, right? They get people to be afraid and then they take things from them, their liberty, their land, their ability to get clean food. So let's just go back in time a little bit. What I first did is I actually looked at, wait a minute, nobody's telling me exactly what are in these tanks, okay? So what are actually in these tanks? Well, I looked that up. And let me just read to you what actually was there, okay? Because this is important. And I also, so what I did is I looked at what's in the tanks. I looked at the chemistry of the items that's in the tanks. What we know from the EPA and from, you know, toxicology, you know, biologic impact studies. And then what this all means, you know, what's really going on here. And I'm going to tell you one thing that Scott Kesterson brought to my eye that I think puts it all together in motive. Okay. He's the motive master, I'm telling you. So here's what I discovered. There were four tanks, four carloads of vinyl chloride. Now, vinyl chloride is not polyvinyl chloride, right? Vinyl chloride, though, is a volatile liquid or a gas it goes back and forth, right? But they didn't leak. Okay, there's no vinyl chloride in the ground. There's no vinyl chloride anywhere because they burned it. All righty. And when they burn it, it releases two chemicals. It releases phosgene and it releases hydrochloric acid. There was, you know, my friend living 80 miles away smelled the acid in the air, smelled the acrid air. So yes, there was acid in the air for a couple of days, but that disperses. As long as the smokestacks aren't spewing out acid, we don't have acid rain. We don't have acid forest damage. It's just a very short-term event, okay? Sprinkle some basic lye on your ground or something. You know, I mean, it's not a big deal. By the way, phosgene was a World War I gas. So you wouldn't want to be in a closed area with phosgene for very long. It's potentially deadly, right? But they only used it like in the trenches because it in big open areas, it disperses. It's not effective. That was four cars. One car had ethyl hexyl acrylate. Okay. The car was penetrated, but the amount leaking is unknown, thought to be small. And in any case, it's not particularly toxic. Okay. It's not going to be a major issue. One car was isobutylene. And it burned with no leakage, and no significant environmental damage or concerns that I can see with that one. Okay. These are things that are just go up in smoke, just like you burn garbage in your backyard. And oh, by the way, what do you get when you burn garbage in the backyard? A small amount of dioxin. We're going to talk about that later. One car had butyl acrylates. Now this is what spilled and caught fire spontaneously. And this is a potential problem. This is a major leak, but at some level it's toxic. Okay. But they're testing the water down the Ohio River and they're finding that it's rapidly dispersing, it's rapidly diluting to the point it's not going to be a problem for long. Now, it is the kind of thing, by the way. So this chemical, this butyl acrylate, is one of those chemicals that doesn't really mix with water. It's not real miscible. So you see a slime, you know how you can see an oil spill? You see that multicolored kind of rainbow, very thin film on the top of the water. That's what this is going to give you. So you'll be able to see it at some dose, but not later on when it gets down in the water. And it doesn't do bioaccumulation. It breaks down, the sunlight breaks it down, and it when it gets into the ground, it gets biodegraded. Okay. Yes, it's going to be taken up in plants a little bit and animals, but it's not, the world has great regenerative powers. Okay. So it's not going to be the long-term issue. The next one is the big one is ethylene glycol. Okay. Ethylene glycol is antifreeze, right? And some people die, animals and children die because antifreeze, ethylene glycol is sweet. They ingest it and it kills your kidneys. Mm-hmm. And there are antidotes for this. I can't remember the name of it. I wasn't an emergency room doctor, but there's something they give you in the emergency room if you had ethylene glycol poisoning, right? It kills your kidneys in two ways. It can oxalate crystals can mechanically damage the kidneys, and then you can have the direct toxicity of glycol. But here's the thing you need to realize, that it doesn't get up in the atmosphere. So the only reason to have this caused any animal death would be that the animals were actually going and licking the ethylene glycol off the ground. Okay. So don't let your kids or the local deer population go and lick the ethylene glycol. Okay. That's really, it's not something that gets aerosolized. And let me just point out, and by the way, if you don't have an antidote and you got into it, drink alcohol, believe it or not, ethanol is one of the antidotes. But here's the point I'm going to make. Guess where we use ethylene glycol? Every plane that you take in the winter is de-iced. And what do they use for de-icing? Ethylene glycol. They spray it on the wings. It goes down off the wings. It gets onto the tarmac. It goes out into the local area. It causes some damage locally, right? But we accept it because it's a risk-benefit analysis. And that's what we're not doing here. We're not looking at the risk-benefit analysis. Now, ethylene glycol, in my opinion, is probably the most toxic of the things that were in there. Although, I'm not pretending to be a chemist, but I do know how to read a little bit of chemistry and kind of understand what's going on here. Now, phosgene. I was going to say something about phosgene. Okay, phosgene degrades. That's the one in by hydrolysis, it forms two things, carbon dioxide and hydrochloric acid. So it's going to go away. All this is going to go away. Now, I've heard people talk about dioxin, okay? And the problem is, where's the evidence for that? Yes, I can believe there's a little bit of dioxin being created because they burn something. You burn your trash in your backyard, you create a little bit of dioxin, okay? By the way, you use Clorox bleach. I was a child of the 60s. I'm interested in being green. Okay. So when I had kids, I didn't use paper diapers. I used bio bottoms. And I put cloth diapers inside, but I did not bleach them. Why? Because dioxin is made. Clorox will in the environment break down to dioxin or Agent Orange. And dioxin is a family of chemicals. It's not just one chemical, but that is the truth. And so anybody that's so worried about a little bit of dioxin from this fire, do you use Clorox at home? I bet you do. So let's all take a step back. My advice is, let's just see what the big play here is. This was pointed out to me by Scott Kesterson, and I think this is a big, in fact, you can listen to his podcast from last night. But he called and we were talking about this today. He used my audio from my Telegram where I put some of this out, and I'm going to tell you about what he said, but go to his podcast. It's Bard's FM. It's on Podbean, and listen to what he says, because he's, like I say, he's the master of motive deconstruction. And here's the point. He takes it back to December of last year. What happened in December of last year? December of last year, the Amish farmer that had been, was he put in jail? I can't remember, but they fined him. They wanted to shut down. They shut down his farming. Why? Because he was doing clean farming. He wasn't vaccinating his animals. He was doing raw milk, homemade stuff, good beef, good clean raised beef. And he was actually making money doing it. And so they can't have that because, in warfare, ultimately it boils down to calories. And the Bolsheviks finally took over the Soviet Union by murdering the most productive farmers. Okay. They couldn't do it elsewise. And what we see right now is an attempt coming after our farming. They're taking down our chickens, claiming avian flu. They want to vaccinate all our cattle. Well, but the problem hit, like Scott pointed out to me, this lawsuit in December that he won says you cannot be forced to vaccinate your cattle. Okay. Now, so what is this? How does that relate to this? Where is the smoke? Where is the pictures they have of where this smoke is going to, the fumes from all this is going to drop? Now, be advised, most of the fumes are going to dissipate before they get there. But nonetheless, they're going to tell you this fumes are going to go and goes down into some of the most productive farmland, the Amish areas. Okay. They're going to hit the Amish areas. They're going to hit anybody along that way. And they're going to come and tell you, oh, you can't farm your land because we're from the EPA and we know that this stuff dropped on your land and you can't farm it. Don't believe them. The way we get our lives back is we get out of the system and we stop believing the hysteric demonstrations that they put on. Now, we should not be happy about this. Don't get me wrong. The people of the town in Ohio, Palestine, Palestine, they should be upset. There were a lot of problems, and I don't know if the railroad is complicit with the deep red faction in this whole thing about taking down the world, but they sure helped with this. Okay, this train was enormously long. It was like over a mile long. Not as toxic as they would have you believe. And by the way, without vinyl chloride, you don't get plastics. You don't get half our clothes. You don't get anything. You know, there's a good point to chemistry. I don't really want to go back to being a troglodyte in a cave where I have to spin my own linen out of sheep's yarn, out of sheep wool, you know. But, you know, as some people do, but I don't want to do that. So I appreciate modern chemists, but we have to use them appropriately. And you cannot use them to poison our people, but you also cannot use them as a scare tactic. You see, this again is a scare tactic. And they're coming after your farmland. Don't let it happen. Understand that it's a scare tactic. You don't have to understand the chemistry, but you have to understand how to ask questions. In other words, when people are running around talking about dioxin, where'd they get that? Did they measure it somewhere? The answer is no. It's all speculation. Okay. When they talk about, I want to know. No, I'm not saying there weren't some animals dead, but I want to know some firsthand people that report that, because we have a picture of a Dayton, Ohio crisis actor call that happened just before this. We have the movie White Noise two or three years ago, or however long it was. That predicted this, that showed this in the same area in Ohio. Okay, the big cloud, the big black cloud with electricity in it, and people were, you know, getting sick and everybody had to run, and they're telling the professor in the college that he's going to die sooner than later just because of this. Again, we don't have any data to prove any of this. It's just a movie right now. Don't let them destroy our world because of propaganda. If we should have learned anything from COVID, it's that without the facts, you don't go running off with your hair on fire and take some stupid vaccine, right? We learned once, we should have learned once, but we're doing it again. So don't let them do that. That's my message to you today. Let's all take a big breath. Let's calm down. Let's listen to let's actually look at what is there and what's left and what we have to do about it. Now, you know, the people in the town need to have some compensation and some help, because just this publicity damaged them. Just this fear damaged them. And that's the last point I'm going to make. I'm a member of Doctors for Disaster Preparedness, and 10,000 people died in Fukushima. Now, we tried for years, the executive director, Jane Orient, and other people in the organization tried for years to convince local EMTs, the emergency management people, to take on these little pocket dosimeters. These are little things you put in your wallet. And then if you're ever in a nuclear disaster, you can know whether or not to flee or not, because you can look at this and see if you're being irradiated. It'll tell you on a real-time thing. It's a simple little piece of paper. Nobody wanted them, right? Nobody wanted them. Then Fukushima happens and they confiscate them all. Now, what happened really in Fukushima? You had 10,000 people die. How many people died of radiation? Does anybody know? I know. Zero. They can argue about a couple cases of late radiation damage maybe, but nobody died of acute radiation poisoning or even late They haven't proven late radiation poisoning because that wasn't the problem. Why did so many people die? Because it is very deadly to dislocate people, to give them fear and to move them out of their domiciles, out of their homes. You know, Japanese people, they don't move. Once they have a home, they're there for generations, right? So the fact that they got suddenly rousted out in the middle of the night or whenever to get out of there and go into a camp or whatever they put them in, that's a very deadly event just in of itself. Okay. The same thing with Chernobyl, the little town outside of Chernobyl. They didn't die of radiation poisoning. They died of translocation. In that case, I think it was like 3,600, but they always exaggerate these things, and the fear is itself damaging. So keep that in mind. Everybody keep a cool head. Let's take a step back. Let's realize this is being run by the psychopaths that gave us COVID. Oh, and look, I'd like to look and see, kind of like the DeMar Hamlin NFL stuff. Do we see any jackets with 33 on them? You know what I'm talking about. So anyway, be chill. Let's just all be chill. Thank you very much.
All righty, very good. Now, you know what? I don't know if I agree with all of what you had to say, because I saw people. Now, I know, obviously, in Hiroshima and Nagasaki and these places where those bombs, the atom bombs fell, they died, most of them died from the blast, okay? But I've always heard about the people that died from the radiation.
Yeah, there was, especially after Hiroshima and Nagasaki, a huge number died from the radiation afterwards, so that is a real danger.
Yeah. Wendy knows about everything. What do you think, Wendy?
Well, there's some credit to that message. You know, we tend to, well, we're conditioned, media and everything, and growing up with TVs, we tend to believe the reports without really doing any, personal, research and verification on it,
I've never believed them. I've always doubted it. I've seen so many of these things. We just had a film put on about the climate change. A fellow from our church who works with the climate change, the environmental stuff, Jim McNeely, and he put on a presentation, and in that he showed you in the mainstream media different clips of the media where they were putting on one. We're talking about a flood, and you had this woman, so supposedly on the scene from, I don't know, NBC or whatever, and she was in a canoe. But what happened was the cameras went up and there were people walking behind her in 6 inches of water. and even the anchor said, boy, that we blew that one, didn't we? And then you had another one where this guy was supposed to be, the storm hadn't gotten in there yet. A hurricane was supposed to come in, but it hadn't gotten there. But he had to do something, so he was pretending that he was like being blown back and forth, and he was holding on, trying to hold on and keep his balance on his pole. And the same thing happened. Here come a couple ladies walking behind him, and that really shot that one down. And so the media, yeah, the mainstream media, you can't trust them. About the only thing that I have any real, trust in, and not a lot, is the weather. Usually they get the weather at least somewhere close to right. But anyhow, there you go on that. But
well, I'll even disagree with you on that. Out here, when hay season comes, if they tell us, that we're going to have 5 days with no rain, nobody cuts hay because it's going to rain. If they tell you there's a possibility every day for 5 days, you start cutting. I've just learned they're never right when it comes to the weather when you're a rancher farmer.
Yeah, I know. How many times have we gotten 18 inches of global warming when it was supposed to be?
Yeah, when it was, yeah, right.
Yeah. Anyhow, Wendy, I wanted to ask you this really quick before we get into more articles and stuff. This thing about vinegar, apple cider vinegar with mother in it, and a teaspoonful a baking soda, and that is supposed to really help you burn fat. Do you know anything about that? Because I've seen so many up on the internet. They've got so many of these, you know, telling you, and all these people saying it's what I did, and I lost all this weight to burn all this fat. What do you think?
Well, I mean, there must be some truth to it. You remember Frank at AVR? That's what he did, and he said he lost some a ton of weight. I think more than 10 pounds.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So he uses that.
All right. One other thing now too. The health ranger, he was talking about baking soda being able to neutralize a lot of these chemicals that are in the ground. In other words, they're talking about what they need to do is bring semi-loads full of baking soda and cover the ground and cover the water and the pools, the ponds, and everything with baking soda, and the baking soda will neutralize these chemicals. What do you think about that?
Well, it's worth a shot. That's what I say.
Oh, it does neutralize acid. I mean, baking soda does neutralize acid. So one of the byproducts of that burning was acid. So it would neutralize the acid in the ground and the water.
Hmm. All right. Okay. Now that we've got that straight out, Joe, well, you have a story. Tell us what's going on in your world.
Well, I've got... I don't know where to start. I think toss it. Dominion bombshell. Do you remember people about the Dominion voting machines?
Yeah.
Well, it turned out that the courts kept turning down Victoria Townsend and others that had proof, and they never did have anybody really allow them come into the courts and show the actual data. And Dominion turned around and threatened to sue everybody in town and had a big lawsuit going, and everybody backed off because it sounded like a huge amount of money. Well, headlines today, February 22nd, WND.com. Dominion bombshell, critical bug leading to incorrect results. Yep, mm-hmm. What they had was Fox News is being sued by Dominion because they talked about some of the problems with the Dominion machines. Well, come to Fox is fighting back because there's this $1.6 billion lawsuit against them. Well, they got a head Dominion Director of Product Strategy and Security, Eric Coomer. Eric Coomer. Now, he said he admitted in an email his company's technology was marred by a critical bug leading to incorrect results. Right. He also said, this is one of Dominion's own executives, knew the system failed. And then he said, after he said there's a critical bug leading to incorrect results, it does not get much worse than that, he said, quote. Now, his comments were made public in a legal brief. You know, I said in this lawsuit between Dominion trying to sue Fox. And he went on, he said, our products, there's an S word. I don't know if we can say it on radio.
No, yeah, I know what you said. I remember what he said, but he said
almost all of the tech failing by Dominion were due to a complete foul-up. He is the F word.
Yeah, I know.
Foul-up in our installation. Then he said, later on, we don't address our weaknesses effectively. And just days before the 2020 vote, Comer had said, our S word is just riddled with bugs. In other words, our system is just riddled with bugs. And then they had a Dominion sales manager, Mark Beckstrom, testified in a deposition. See, when you put people under oath, that other parties have gotten a hold of Dominion's equipment illicitly in the past. In other words, they've been hacked. Other people have gotten control of Dominion's equipment. So Beckstrom, this is a sales manager, identified specific instances in Georgia, North Carolina, testified that a machine was hacked in Michigan, and confirm these security failures. So So everything that you and I were saying about Dominion, apparently now when these people have to testify under oath, the lawsuits were to first threaten people and now is to get money. All of a sudden it's kind of backfiring, and they have a document. A security expert told the media that Dominion software should be designed to detect and prevent the kind of glitches that were experienced in Michigan. So they had another expert say, hey, you know, a proper software should have caught this kind of thing, but their software wasn't correct. So it's interesting. Now, here's the big news. Alex Halderman, a University of Michigan scientist, invested and produced a report on possible flaws in Dominion's system in the 2020 election. Thus, it was a news report. J. Alexander Halderman, a professor, computer science professor, Michigan. But Joe Biden's administration insisted to a federal judge that the results of Halderman's investigation and report should not be made public. Joe Biden covered up a scientist, a computer professor that showed Dominion's problems, flaws, and the Biden administration ordered a judge, insisted the federal judge, not let this get out to the public. That's, I think, pretty huge news, Pastor. It verifies that Biden lies, Biden cheats, Biden covers up, and things that we were telling people all through the election, we were right.
He took corruption and evil and sin, you know, to a higher level even than Obama.
Yeah, he's outdone.
Even Obama. And, you know, here's, well, this is...
this gets out to the American people. I mean, just the fact that think about it. The Biden administration insisted a federal judge withhold all this results of this guy's report. This is no longer a free society, folks. We are no longer a constitutional republic or a rule of law.
No, it hasn't been, Joe.
We are like a banana republic. Like,
and they're still trying to go after. Now, think about this. They're still trying to prosecute President Trump, the legitimate, real legitimate president of this United States. He still is. He never lost the election. The election was stolen. And anyone and everyone that says it wasn't is a liar, and there's not a bit of truth in them. And you won't find one, and you will not find one of those talking heads or one of those people that will come on this radio program and sit across from me, because they know if they do. And I watched Carrie Lake just tear Brett Baer apart, you know, with that. But anyhow, you know, we're coming to a break. When we come back from the break, There's
one more big story.
Yeah, one more big story. We're going to open the phone line and take some calls. But you have a witch who is the head, okay, of this so-called jury out there that is trying to prosecute President Trump. Okay, you got an actual Wiccan witch, but wait till you hear about this. So we'll be back right after this.
Now you've heard the story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent, who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, 'cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father calls it for the Son to be redeemed when you're resurrected. from the grave you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now the Muslims say it's down to Allah you bow. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, 'cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide. So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels, so they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet.
No, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. And boy, that's got the old devil worried, I can tell you that. And it should. But anyhow, we're back. Now listen, I wanted to just say this very quickly. In Georgia, for this grand jury, they've got a Wiccan witch. Now, this woman is every bit as articulate as Kamala Harris. This woman is a raving dingbat. She is. I was listening to her. She is a dingbat. And but Joe and Wendy, here's the worst part. They elected her. The other jurors thought that she was the smartest of them all and that she would be the one to be the lead juror. So what does that tell you about the other jurors of this grand jury?
Little strange. I'd kind of worry about them, really.
Now, if Trump's lawyers was watching her tonight, even on CNN was shaking their heads. Oh, boy. Okay. If Trump's lawyers are watching that one, they had to be just sitting back laughing. I mean, this, you know, if ever a case where someone should be dismissed, not only should she be dismissed, but then...
dismissed with prejudice.
Well, not just that. Then she should be committed. Okay.
Or sent to therapy for a long time.
All righty. Okay, we're going to take some calls. So who do we have? We have Jeff way out in Massachusetts. I bet he wants to talk to Wendy. Hey, Jeff.
Oh, thank you very much, Pastor Sanders. Now, I want to speak about health issues, and the thing is, a lot of people are dominated by the boob tube, even more than the left-wing media. For instance, with COVID, a lot of people watch zombie movies and movies like that. We have this noxious bioweapons attack that turns everybody into a zombie or really makes people really, really sick. So people have this conditioning in their minds for all these decades and decades and decades and decades, and then all of a sudden COVID comes upon America and the media is scaring the crap out of people. And you have people watch TikTok and all this low-information stuff. I mean, and people read the headlines in the newspaper, especially in the blue states. I mean, people are scared out of their minds. A lot of people don't know about medicine and natural remedies to begin with. So you're already starting off with a poor foundation. So you combine that with the business world saying, okay, we're going to do whatever you government people tell us to do because you have clout. You see, what the conclusion I've come up with is, in blue states in particular, it's all about clout. In other words, we're the muscle around here. We make the laws. The Constitution's a formality. You do what we tell you, or that's it. Everything's off the books, behind the scenes. You get your job under the door, not through the front door, but under the door, behind the door. In other words, that's what communism is. What do you think, panel?
Well, it is communism. If you go to Proverbs chapter 1, it kind of defines communism right there. But what you're talking about, that these people, the blue states, these liberals, they hate God. They hate God. They hate God, and the Bible says those that hate God love death. You won't find a liberal that is not pro-abortion or pro-euthanasia. And so everything, remember, God is not the author of confusion. Their God of this world is. This is why they're upside down, inside out, and backwards on everything. Liberals do not have common sense. If they had common sense, they wouldn't be liberals. So
but
there you go.
But you see, to wrap this up, when it comes to liberals, there's like two or three degrees between a communist and a liberal. It goes in degrees. And you see, and a lot of people know that a lot of this stuff is wrong, but they say, okay, we have to do what we have to do because we want a seat at the table so we can make the big bucks, live in the suburbs, have a nice car, be left alone, and so forth. And that's what a lot of people think in the blue states. Do what you got to do to make the big bucks. If you're too outspoken, if you're too far to the right, if you don't play the game, you don't make the cash, you don't get into the suburbs, and don't live a good life. That's the mind of the unsaved person.
Well, those people in the blue states think the government is God. The government will give you that nice house. The government will give you these things. But it doesn't. The government doesn't have any money. It's other people's money. Like Margaret Thatcher says, socialism works until they run out of other people's money. So, but I got to go, Jeff, because we got the links.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. By the way, before we go anywhere else, we got to talk about Wendy. In this book of hers, she's got all of those natural antibiotics like garlic and echinacea and all those other things that we really should have a good supply of, folks. But in order to find out, you got to get her book. And you can get it by going to thepowerherbs.com, or you can call 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And there you go. And you've got, so Wendy, tell them about all the good things you got in your catalog.
Well, we specialize in immune boosting, organ cleansing, and metabolic strengthening herbs. So a lot of times, if you just get the toxins out, which are stumbling blocks, the body can't regenerate and detoxify well, then you tend to invite a problem. So you get the toxins out and you put the nutrition in, you got most things whooped. That's pretty simple, but that's how it goes.
All righty. And right in this catalog, you got Wendy's picture. She's very pretty. And then in the next catalog, you'll have my picture next to hers. And that'll make her look even better. And then Joe's picture will be next to mine. That'll make me look better. And then I better take another call before I get in more trouble with Joe. Who do we have? Hey, John, you're in the air.
Yeah, I think that some of the things that are misrepresented and mislabeled are really the problem in this society. And calling, for instance, saying that the media is too supportive, scaring people against corporate abuses and corporate toxic vaccines and pollutants in our environment, air and water. It's just the opposite. We don't have anybody, even liberal, let alone leftists and communists and all the rest of those expletives that have been pounded into our heads by 100 years of corporate media. But we don't have Ralph Nader types even in this country anymore who point out that the so-called regulatory agencies have been captured by the very corporations that they're supposed to oversee and police and prevent these kinds of abuses. They've been captured. The CDC, the FDA, the NIH, they have been captured. And when you look at that, this is not a problem of liberals. We have no Ralph Nader types anymore who could point these things out. And on the foreign policy front, all we have is a uniparty of war propagandizing and fear-mongering against any country that hasn't been able to be put under the hegemony and domination of the CIA and the Pentagon in the world. Just total, unrelenting demonization and lies and propaganda by both parties vying for the largesse billions of dollars of campaign contributions from that military-industrial war profiteering, war weapons makers lobby in this country. And I think we've got to concern ourselves with that as the real enemy. And the fact that the Democrats are now the number one party of trying to pour gasoline on this warmongering rhetoric against Russia and China and Korea and North Korea and Iran.
Yeah, well, we've had a lot of the I've been listening to a lot of the generals that are talking, and these are people that know, and according to them, we're closer to World War III than we've ever been. But we've got to move on. Thanks, Jim.
Just a minute. That's a real problem, that many of the people that have been pushing this kind of demonization of these countries have been pushing us towards nuclear war, and they say we're at seconds before midnight in that, as observed by the nuclear scientists who have a clock for the last
Yeah, month. When you keep saying that, that'll be a self-fulfilled prophecy. That's what some of the idea is. But anyhow, thanks for calling. We got to move on, and well, let's go to who would have thought. Clifford is here. Hey, Cliff.
Yeah, hello, Miss Blondie, Wendy. Also, you know, I was thinking from yesterday's study, Ezekiel chapter 25, verses 5 to 7, is talking about these deaf people, merchants, clapping. As a form of mocking God. That's Ezekiel chapter 25, verses 5 to 7. But my question for Wendy is more, say you're taking these, you're getting capsules, say echinacea or whatever. Would you take these, first of all, I like to take these things out of the capsule. Would you agree with that? And then sometimes people say take some of these things sublingual. Or would you sometimes put them in a drink?
Okay. Well, I like to open up capsules too, Cliff. I like to put them in a beverage, a liquid, room temperature or cold, and stir them up and drink them down, because then the body doesn't have to spend time and energy digesting the capsule, and they go right to work. So your teas are your weakest, your capsules and tablets a little stronger, and then your aged extracts or tinctures are going to be your most potent, and a lot of people like to take those sublingually, which you can. I typically just skip that part, and just, you know, because I know once you swallow it and it's in the system, it's absorbed quickly. There's nothing to digest, really, and it starts to work in 60 seconds, so sublingually really doesn't matter to me.
All right, so you would just take, open up the capsule and put them in a drink, preferably.
I would,
like,
yeah, I've done that. Yeah. I've done that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, also, on the dandelion, what's some of the things, could you just go over that briefly, dandelion?
Dandelion root, it's been used for a lot of things. I mean, the settlers in America would, you know, put the dandelion flowers in salads and eat them. So dandelion is you know, digestible, it's edible. But the newest discovery was Windsor Medical University in Quebec, Canada. They discovered by accident dandelion kills all known cancer cells. And they're trying to figure out what compound in dandelion is doing that so they can make a cancer drug. So all known cancer cells. So healthy cells ignore it, according to Dr. Pandy. But cancer cells suck up the dandelion and it kills this cancer cell. So dandelion's got some really interesting uses.
Well, that's incredible, you know, because I know someone that has cancer. They're taking chemo, so I'll have to tell them that, yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Miriam Pandy and Dr. Carolyn Hamm did the research on that.
Yeah, that's great information, Wendy. Okay, thanks a lot. Okay.
All right.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Cliff. Let's go out to California. We got Eric out in California. Hey, Eric.
Hi. Have you heard of Stop World Control, the website?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, it's STOP, I forget, stiderworld or .com. It's STOPWORLDCONTROL.org or .com.
Okay.
You want to check that out. And I sent you the, did you see for the call for jihad they did in Minnesota State Capitol?
I say that there's all kinds, yeah, that's right. There's all kinds
okay,
of things happening.
I sent you the footage from Sons of Liberty.
All right, very good. I noticed that they're trying to pass some really stupid legislation, more stupid legislation there in Minnesota.
Yeah, I know. I figured your Minnesota listeners would want to know that.
All righty.
Getting stupid is more common than anything nowadays.
Yeah, it is. It's really getting... I mean, remember, everything is completely in opposition to the Bible. Whatever the Bible teaches, they're in total opposition to it. And so the Bible says, I've set before you this day life and death, so choose life and a blessing, but not death and a curse. So they say, well, then we'll choose death because, you know, again, the left out there is totally insane. This is... Well, we know that the Bible says God gave them over to a reprobate mind. So there you go. All right, thanks, Eric. Who do we have next?
Just over five minutes out.
All righty, very good. Well, we better not take any more calls then because it's time that we give an invitation. But before we give that invitation, to tell you one more time, we got to let folks know, in Wendy's book, folks, in her book, you've got all of these things. I have a very, very good supply, a very good supply of these natural herbs. Wendy, they last, what, 10, 15 years?
Yeah, if you make them properly and store them in an environmentally controlled area, they can last 10 years.
Yeah, and so there you go. You should have, with everything that's happening to us right now, look, Big Pharma, you know, Big Pharma gives us their drugs, and Big Pharma is what? Pharmakia is what? It's witchcraft. So you can either go with witchcraft or you could go with the natural herbs that God gave you, folks. Think about that. 888, this is her number. You can call her to get that catalog, 888-229-3663. Or you go to thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. And you can see all the stuff because she's got some really, really good medicines, all natural herb. That's why I call her the all-natural lady, right, Wendy?
4 minutes.
Alrighty. Okay, here's where we're at right now. We're up against, we've come to the most important part of this program tonight. And the most important part of this program is what? The Word of God,
invitation
isn't it?
Invitation to salvation.
Amen. And Joe, who is going to need that? How many people out there listening to us right now, they're listening to us, are going to die?
Every single one.
All right. Now, when that happens, the Bible says it's appointed to all men once to die, and then what happens?
The judgment.
Okay. What kind of a record does God have as far as accuracy?
100%.
And over the years, many, many, many people have tried to disprove the Bible. Has anyone ever been able to do that?
Not yet.
All right. Well, here
I
you go, folks.
Trying.
I got to just tell you, you got to know from the Bible, 100% sure, you are a sinner. Don't deserve to go to heaven. According to the Word of God, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. The only way you can pay for your sins is by spending eternity in hell. That's right. That's what God says. But now, listen, For the wages of sin is death, but Romans 6:23, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, Revelation 20:14, folks. God gives you the way out. He gives you the way out. Now, we can't do anything good enough on our own to merit heaven. Nope, we can't do anything. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. In Titus 3:5, Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Jesus not only died, also rose from the dead. For I delivered unto you the first of all, which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Jesus freely offers salvation to you with no strings attached, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Now, you accept the gift by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, by confessing him with your mouth. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:10. You're 100% certain simply by believing the promise of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Jesus made it simple. He did all the heavy lifting. He did what only he could do. No one else could have done it. And here's what he tells us. It's very simple. He says to pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of your sins, and then call upon him, ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any exceptions. And if you'll do that, God will always honor that commitment. And what will happen? You'll become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you will be infilled with the Holy Spirit. And folks, that's the best thing that could ever happen to anyone. Now, we're out of time for tonight. Wendy, thanks for being here. And Joe, and as we say 20. At this time every night, it's time to say good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
And always, ready? Always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.